Hello and welcome to another episode of 10,000 Hours. I'm Grant Spanier.
And I'm Vince Cauchy.
And we are officially over the hill on our way to 100 episodes, Vince. This is episode 51.
That is true. Episode 51 with Mikey Burton.
Yeah, what a charming fella. Real jovial, had a lot of energy. And he's so talented, which, you know, of course, is one of the first things that drew us to him.
Yeah, exactly. He's a designer, an illustrator, a letterer. I think he calls himself, a designy illustrator?
Designy, yeah. I don't know if there's a hyphen or...
Yeah, you can find that on his website. But we talked about something that you and I were trying to talk about for a long time, but we couldn't find the right guest. But then Mikey came along and we both agreed that it's perfect fit. We talked about art and commerce. And that's basically that age-old question of finding a balance between, you know, creativity and business and sometimes the clashes that come about because of that and sometimes how they can live in perfect harmony. And Mikey had a really interesting set of insights on the matter.
Yeah, I think after that conversation, we both were like, wow, you know, he had a different perspective than we expected. And different than what, you know, the position that I think a lot of people take on art and commerce. It can kind of fall into cliche immediately, but it was great with him.
It was anything but with Mikey. It was a great combo.
Absolutely. And a great sponsor this week, Animoto. First time I'm talking about them, but recently got to play with the product a little bit. Really impressed with it. And I think there are a lot of like really good use cases for some people. And basically what it does is it helps you make... more specifically business videos, but any sorts of videos something like Squarespace. It's sort of like a tool that kind of gets the production out of the way. And I like I said, I really, really dig it. If you want to learn more about that, head over to animoto.com/10khrs, animoto.com/10khrs. Thank you, Animoto, for sponsoring this episode of 10,000 Hours. Vinny, thank you.
Yeah, and thank you to you, Grant, and thank you, Mikey Burton, for joining us for an awesome conversation about art and commerce. Thank you, listeners. As always, enjoy episode 51, Art and Commerce. What do they call it? You made a meal out of that one. That's what the English would say.
The French would say, "Maison croissée."
Man, speaking fake French on this podcast already. Come on.
I want to know, Vince, what you're working on. But actually, hold on. I want to know a couple things. What are you working on? What are you putting your time into? And also, what's the temperature where you are?
Oh, God, please. No, Grant. Why? It's really cold. It's still cold. And I still hate you for being in Los Angeles while I'm stuck here in the frozen north. I love the city. Obviously, Minneapolis is great. But it is really frigid. This last couple weeks have just been miserable. So I'm staying indoors and working on stuff, actually. In addition to the show, I've got some stuff going on at Yamamoto and putting the finishing touches on for real this time, my short story. And hey, I hope you will get a draft this weekend to read while you're in the hotel or something, or on the flight back, maybe.
Staying in a studio, so no hotel vibes. It's way
better. Oh, that's right. Hey, yeah. Egg,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, shout out to Egg. Egg in Minneapolis. Those guys are very generously letting me crash at their studio out here. Vince, I swear to God, man, if you don't send me a copy of this thing, I know. I'll lose trust. I'll lose faith. Yeah.
You're going to fly out just to slap me. No, I totally understand. But I'm pretty happy with it for a first draft. So.
Hell yeah.
Should be cool. Grant, do you want to do me the honors of returning the favor?
I will honor thee. Mostly a couple music video projects that I'm jamming on. Some approved treatments, which is like such a cool feeling, but it's also very scary because that means I actually have to produce it.
Right.
It's like you pitch the far-fetched idea to the client, like, and then they buy it, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mostly that. And finally, I think probably by the time this episode is live, my site should be live that I've been working on for.
Oh, yeah. I got a little bit of a sneaky peeky today, and it was hot and spicy mustard, my friend.
Hot and spicy. Yeah, working on that and doing some podcasts. Actually, I'm doing a Respect the Process tomorrow. I don't know when that episode will come out, but I'm sure we'll post about it. But
hey, that Jordan was, Brady, yeah, former guest of the show. Awesome.
Yeah, real cool. I'm super excited to meet him in person after we podcasted. We cut that one down and too. That was like an hour and 45.
I know.
Like don't edit podcasts anymore, and we edited that one down by like 40 minutes. That was crazy.
I know. It was amazing. It was a
so,
great time.
Yes, I'm podcasting, and I'm currently podcasting, as you're probably aware. And I'm so excited to welcome this particular guest. Okay, hold on, actually. I do say that for every guest, but I don't always mean it, and I'm being authentic this time. I met this here feller. He's a fellow Midwesterner. Met him at Design Camp a couple of years ago. He's just got, man, you got some really playful, like on point work, a lot of kind of illustration stuff. As you describe yourself, you are a quote unquote designy illustrator. And I know you've had a ton of really interesting clients, ESPN, Time, all across the range of publications, New York Times, probably, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Mikey Burton, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is great.
And you're in Chicago, correct?
Yes, I'm in Chicago. It was slightly warmer today. It was around 29. So,
oh, balmy, my friend.
Not quite as. It's been colder most of the week, though. So.
I honestly had a slight it kind of sounded probably like a manic or like a panic attack laugh. But I was just standing outside today, and it was just so sunny. And I was standing on the corner. And I just went, yeah. Like, I don't know who I was laughing at, but probably you guys. So, okay,
oh,
I'm sorry. That's rude.
My little sister, up that sun.
My little sister's in Chicago. If you see her, could you give her my best?
Sure.
Okay, thanks, man.
I'll make sure to do that.
All right, that's why we had you on the show. Have a great day.
have a great night, guys.
It's been so real.
Hey, Mikey, can you do me the distinct honor of sharing with me and Grant and all our listeners what you're putting your time into right now?
This week is a pretty busy week. I have I'm finishing up some illustrations for annual report. I'm doing probably I think like two kind of like pretty robust editorial packages that are all due this week. I have a few identity projects that have just been ongoing for a while. I have a beer brand that I work for in Australia.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
We're starting up some more work with them, which sounds pretty cool. And then I think I have one I can't talk about yet. So
ooh, sweet,
perfect.
Fun.
So
hey,
give us the
exclusive. Come on, man. No, I'm kidding. Hey, actually, quick aside. Speaking of identity projects, Vince and I realized later on we had done this project. Actually, probably the project that brought us so close together. Vince, would you say?
I would agree.
Yeah, a project called Creatives Go West, like 2.5 years ago, where we went out west for like 2 weeks. There's four of us in a car. We drove the whole way and went to Portland, San Francisco, San Diego, LA, Vegas, Denver, all these places, and met with agencies and startups. Yeah, it was really cool. And somebody who was super kind and invited us in, because we kind of had like gotten some press on like Egotist and Agency Spy, so we had some people inviting us in. But Division of Labor invited us in, and they were so cool, and we just had like an awesome time with them, and they gave us a bunch of shirts with a logo that I believe you were responsible for.
Yeah. I invented the X logo.
That was you. Mikey Burton, hipster branding pioneer.
He was there, boys, at the beginning. It's a beautiful shirt, and Grant likes to remark every time we bring it up that he didn't get one.
I didn't get one there, and the entire crew got two shirts, I believe, from Instrument in Portland, and I still didn't get one.
Those looked great.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry. It took me a really long time for them to get me one shirt, so it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, we literally drove there from Minneapolis, so.
Like. You think they could have... Hey, yeah, shout out to Division of Labor for their hospitality.
Yeah, we should show notes them. And
those
actually,
guys are great.
Well, for sure. And I think anybody listening should peruse. It's mikeyburton.com, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think it's. Well, I just mean it's.
I had to think about it. God. Sorry.
It's worth just popping on there even while you're listening to like check out some of your work because it's like so fun. I feel like it gives it more context.
Oh, and hey, quick weird shout out to our guest Mikey for his phenomenal Skype handle.
Well, are you going to reveal it?
Now everybody's Skyping. I was waiting for the reaction, but...
Yeah, I don't... I feel like I've
Beast
I had...
of Burton.
Dude,
I think
wait,
that's top-notch, my friend.
Hey, Miguel. Sweet, sweet Miguel. Wait for the influx of Skype requests. They're coming. Our listeners are
awesome.
Coming for you.
It's really funny because I thought I had Mikey Burton's Skype handle.
Yeah.
and then somebody said they like dialed it like a year ago and they said it was like some South American dude. Not me.
It is a kind of a clunky system because we record a lot of our episodes, especially when I'm not in the same town city as Vince and we're not in the same city as our guest on Skype. And it's like there's no real streamlined way. It's like because most often I'll look up the person's email before I even ask them. And most often it's not their email. It won't come up as a contact. And then they have to like go look. And it's usually something kind of weird because everybody made their Skype. It's like just after your AIM username.
In like 2001.
My AIM username was shrimppimp54321 with like alternating caps.
You should get that as like a URL.
Oh my God. That's a fantastic idea.
On point ideas coming fast and often.
I'm just gonna make a note. I'm gonna make a note. I was about to hop onto the like a domain register because I was like, oh, somebody's gonna hear this and get that, but these are slightly delayed in release, so we're okay. I just
yeah,
we're
gonna
get that. Yeah, yeah.
hey, I think this is a okay.
It's a good time
transition.
Yeah,
we might as well, Mikey. We are excited today. We've had this idea for a show topic kicking around for maybe a couple months even now, and
no guest was worthy, right?
Yeah, exactly. No one. This was the right fit for it.
Vinny, I will say, quick context. Like, when I saw Mikey talk at Design Camp, I thought it was, like, he had some really interesting, or you had some really interesting stuff to say about, like, even, having an agent and, like, dealing with editorial turnaround times, like, you know, getting a brief in the morning and, like, having to have it that day and just, like, that sort of stuff. So I think that is a context for the discussion, which is, Vince...
art versus commerce, or maybe it's art with commerce. Basically, we're talking about that, you know, underlying truth that in this industry and in a lot of creative industries, you've got to do it to make money at some point. And where is that balance between, you know, commitment to the creativity and the pragmatism that comes with trying to, you know, look out for the bottom line, or even the more esoteric topics that surround it. And so we were both excited to get your opinions on art versus commerce. Mikey Burton, do you think you got some opinions?
On art versus commerce. Huh?
Well, so are we art versus, or we are and, or are we art
I guess
plus?
That's the first question, right? Is it a harmony? Can it be a harmony? Is it naturally opposing forces that we just have to try to strike a balance between? Maybe that's a good place to start.
I think we all sign up as commercial artists or graphic designers mm-hmm. because... we don't want to be a starving artist.
Yeah,
correct.
True. Very true.
So obviously it is a balance of art and commerce. I don't think you necessarily have to. I don't have the attachment to my work as an artist would.
Okay.
I find it very disposable. I find ideas very disposable. When I work with clients, I'm always willing to present a lot of ideas and shed the bad ones very quickly, or, you know, draft up new ideas. I think the joy I have of making stuff comes from the joy of also making a living doing that thing, I think, too. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. I think that's a really interesting point of view because it's not one that is unilaterally held. At least in my personal experience, people can be very protective of their work, and that can lead to chafing, maybe is the right word for it, between the art and commerce halves of the brain. Grant, do you have like a similar opinion?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think context is like, so, yeah, and Vinny. So Vinny works at an agency, copywriter at an agency, where there's like almost an interesting balance too between you and agency and client. But I guess for me, yeah, it's very similar. I think it has evolved over the past couple of years, especially, you know, I think earlier on you're very attached to the idea or very attached to the thing, and you kind of can put too much weight in it because you feel like you have to do it this way. But yeah, you know, it kind of depends because I really do work in a range of ways. I will say on the like filmmaking front, I like am more attached and kind of less, my ideas feel less disposable to me because once I feel like I actually have the concept or the story or whatever that is, and I know I'm going to have to produce it too, it's the actual thing I feel comfortable producing. Whereas I feel like even with some design elements or some things, I'm like, oh yes, I can like move quicker on this because I'm more versed in it. Okay. But yeah, that now we're just talking about like ideas, but as far as like business versus art, it's like, some things are more artistic than others. And I think that really is it for me. I think like denying the business side of it is just like silly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you are doing a more fruitful business piece of work to enable a more artistic piece of work. And I think that's kind of a continuum. What about you, Vinny? You know, working in an agency?
Yeah, it's a kind of a different animal, right? Because there are so many additional layers of like, it's got to appeal internally first at an agency level, and then it's got to appeal to a client. So it's got to clear the business hurdle, but then the client has their additional hurdles. But I think what I've discovered is a couple things, and I'd like to get your guys' reaction to this too, is one, at a certain point, and I don't want to call it becoming jaded or bitter, I think it's like the exact opposite. I became enlightened and stopped. Yeah. I stopped like feeling heartache when my ideas were brutally murdered. I mean, you never really lose it completely. Sometimes when I really like an idea or concept and it just gets gutted, like, hey, that sucks, but that's the job. But I almost kind of like the assignments that put pretty tight creative constraints on the project because it's a different kind of problem solving. Like you can like get up and have an idea and write about whatever you want all the time for any reason at all. But you don't always get to write about cheese processing and dairy waste management. And sometimes learning about that and being able to write about that in a brochure is, while not hyper stimulating from a creative standpoint, is very interesting mm-hmm. from a problem solving standpoint. And I think art versus commerce can become art with commerce in that regard. Whereas you can view your clients and your business constraints as hurdles, or you can use them as limits to breed creativity.
Hmm. Yes.
I think that's really interesting. And I'll say that the way I went to school to be a graphic designer, after I figured out what graphic design was, because that took a couple of years for me to be like, yeah. What is this exactly? At some point I realized, oh, this is graphic design. I'm into this. So that's what I went to school for. But at some point when I was doing other stuff and started screen printing and started letter pressing and using different, different techniques of producing stuff, it's kind of those restraints of those processes, like kind of, informed me as an illustrator. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like something I necessarily was planning on doing. But that's kind of where I ended up from, like stepping from graphic design to illustration. So being an illustrator now, I don't think I necessarily am an illustrator. It's just an opportunity that's kind of happened. Mm-hmm. So I still approach it from like, I don't like some people as an illustrator would have a voice and like a viewpoint that they express through their illustration even. Mm-hmm. I never had that. I'm still always guided by the job.
Yeah.
So that's still like, even though I have a style and aesthetic that's it's like developed over time, I think like that the building, like it's still informed by work. It's not like something I'm producing from my own heart. Mm-hmm. It's still guided by like an article,
dude, yeah,
or whatever.
That's like totally interesting because that's even something we've talked about. And I think we were talking about the Dishwan episode recently where we were literally talking about aesthetic. I mean, that's like something I think that's how I approach things as well. you have a more distinct style than me. I think probably because you've been making stuff longer and you're better at it, frankly. Whereas, but it's the same idea. It's like, oh yeah, well, what is the problem? What are we trying to communicate? What are we trying? You know, it's like, it. Yeah, that's like. I think yeah, it's a similar approach. It's a similar approach. But the hard thing is sometimes I think dealing with like the lack of a very distinct. I don't know. It's a blessing and a curse, right? Like all things.
To me, I think I always would struggle as a artist per se because it's you're creating something for yourself. I have a really hard time doing that.
Yeah.
And as being an illustrator, I'm actually trying to reverse engineer that and start creating things for myself now.
Ah,
this is fascinating.
Yeah, it's really weird because like I've got to the point of doing like I didn't like people go to like crazy art school to become editorial illustrators, mm-hmm. and I didn't do it that way. I like kind of fell into it in a weird ass way.
Yeah, give some context.
Yeah. How? Which weird ass way?
Like how weird was
like I was doing like I was basically doing like it was nothing sexual, guys. It was just I just like literally was doing like gig posters most of for like
oh yeah
like a long time, and that led to like an art director at Wired magazine seeing something I made and being like, hey, that's really cool. Do you do editorial? And you know. Of course I said, of course I thought no, but my mouth said, or my email said yes.
Yeah, your email.
And then that's how I started doing editorial illustration. Now it's like most of my work. But like, to me, it was like, I'm a designer that just happened to like fall into this and I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I really enjoy, you know, the turnaround time and all these different things. But I think that's like, it's, you're still working for a client. There's still like some, like you have like some thing you do. I don't know if it's aesthetic. I don't know if it's a style. I don't know if it's any of that. You have a specific thing you do and you're doing this for like a client now. Mm. It's not guided by, it's not art, you know, it's all for money.
Right. Okay. So, but I, okay. There are some interesting things to unpack there, I think.
Let's unpack.
Let's unpack them, Vinny.
One at a time.
Yeah. Okay. The first thing is, you exhibit, I think, a lot of the personality traits that I see in a lot of the really talented people I know, and most of those people are doing or have done editorial stuff at some point, and I think maybe it's based on their conceptual ability and their professional kind of nature, and like, you know, I think of a Dee Schwen or a Brock Davis or Phil Jones, three Minneapolis guys whose work I absolutely love. And so I think there's something to that. And I think that is like an openness and an honesty and just kind of like a thinking out loud nature. And it is a detachment to the ideas because you have so many ideas and you're capable of producing them. I think that is like a common thread I see with all that. But okay, jumping from there, I do kind of wonder, you don't consider that artistic, but I don't know, on some, okay, now we're going to get into the definition of art, but maybe we have to if we're going to talk about art and commerce. Like, for me, I think that that artistic sensibility and that artistic nature is sort of a way of life. And maybe we could interchange the word creativity or creative. But I know, like, I strive to live a very creative life. And maybe that isn't me selling a painting per se, and it might still be client work, but I still kind of see it as artistic.
It's artistic, right? I guess I don't value my work that much.
Wow.
I am so excited to wake up in the morning and open my sketchbook and sketch some ideas and like make some stuff on the computer. Mm-hmm. I love that. But like, it's work to me. It's work. Mm-hmm. It's not art. Like, I'm really lucky to like make a mild living, like making pictures for, you know, big magazines or, you know, giant corporations or whatever. I think that's really fun. Like, I think that's like a true artist would maybe not be okay with that. Because it's their art. It's the thing they produce. Wait, like, so I'm okay with thinking
an artist needs like sort of disdain for that, or like they can't operate on a commercial level like that?
I don't know. I think it's like, because like it ultimately comes back to working for a client, right?
Yeah, but do you not? I mean, I guess you don't work for the client; you work for yourself. But I mean, most artists are at least selling their wares. What would be the difference between, you know, you making a T-shirt and selling that versus, you know, who do you make that for? You make it for someone else, right?
I don't. I mean, I don't really have anything I sell on my website.
I guess. Okay. All right.
Okay. I think we might have found a very good candidate for this topic after all, because I think you're in the minority on this opinion, Mr. Burton.
Well,
I don't know. I like to. It's work to me. Like I've like the name of your podcast, but the whole Malcolm Gladwell thing. I've put my time in for a long time, and I've done a lot of work, and I've got a lot of experience. I think that's why I get to work for these clients I work for now, because people put trust in the work I do. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's work. Like it's not like, I know it's like really fun and it looks awesome, but like my dad like worked all the time. He's a jeweler, and like he loved work. It wasn't nearly as like glamorous as working for like the New York like Time magazine, but he loved work. He took like great joy in that. Mm-hmm. And I think like when you think back about commercial art, it's like it's kind of work. It's not necessarily art, you know, to me. I send off artwork to magazines, but it's not like art is something more personal you make for yourself. You generate that for you. It's more selfish. This is selfish on a level, but it's also for somebody's assigning me a job, you know?
Yeah. No, that's an interesting distinction for sure. It kind of has like a bit of a, I mean, maybe it was just hearing you talk about your dad is what gives me like a Draplin like vibe, you know, that industrious nature of the Draplins. But yeah, I mean, it's okay. So you're sort of like de-romanticizing it.
Right? Absolutely. I'm
sorry.
No, at all. Man. This is very interesting. I have a question. I think one of the best ways, or one of the things that helped me kind of like be at peace with writing for clients and doing hardworking writing in quotation marks, is that I have writing and other creative pursuits outside of my job that I love to do. This podcast being one of them that like kind of satisfies that itch in my brain that I get to do creative things every day. And so when I go to work and it's like, a brochure, that's maybe not, you know, I like brochures just fine, but it's not the most exciting project that I'm cool with it because I'm satisfied creatively elsewhere. Do you ever do stuff like that?
I think that's what, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, I think it's just, I feel like I have a really hard, like I was saying earlier, like I'm trying to reverse engineer that now. Like I had so much joy from just doing work for people for a long time that became, you know, that's where I got like contentment from. I don't necessarily get that as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like trying to step back and try to make something that's more for me. And I totally get that. I don't have a ton of like little projects I do on the side. I started like drawing my food. I mean, that's fun, but it's like goofy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes the goofy things are the most fun and the most creatively fulfilling, right?
I mean, like fucking Kate Bingaman Burt, who was on the show too, is like her projects were super goofy.
And yeah, the like, goofiest.
Yeah, but they grew into such an interesting thing, especially.
And they had a very real impact, right?
Yeah,
it's interesting.
It's really cool that is you bring up a point that maybe. Like, okay, so on one hand, when the way I explain it to some people who work at agencies too, and again, not to romanticize even like freelancing or working for yourself, which is essentially working for clients still, but
yeah,
like
everybody's your boss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
everybody's your potential boss.
Yeah, of course. but the beauty to me is there is a freedom in it. Of course, there are still constraints and there's still other things, but it's like, I guess. I think about working on something that kind of sucks, which is, you know, that happens. And it's like, it's still kind of exciting to me because I feel like I'm you know, I am in a way working for myself. I'm in control of that. And I am like, you know, I have rules or a contract around, you know, what I get paid for that. And it's like, I have much more control, even though, you know, there's still other factors. I guess that's still, it kind of like adds a layer, like a game layer, or it makes it like exciting to me, even if I'm doing the same sort of production stuff that I would be doing somewhere else. So what I was hearing from you, and I don't know if this is right, but what I was hearing from you, you're saying like you're not as excited by it these days, and that doesn't mean the work suffers, but you're not as excited by it as time has gone on. Did you feel that earlier on?
Oh, right. Yeah, totally.
Right. Okay.
Like just being like so excited to just have people sending an email and ask me to do work, like that's driven me for the past 5 years. Now I'm at the point, I still love that. Like, don't get me wrong. I still love when I get like an email from like the New York Times and say, hey, you got to do this illustration really quickly. That's awesome. Like, I don't get as much fulfillment from it anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like at some point that changed from like being like, hey, like I'm in the driver's seat. I am still picking and choosing all my clients and everything, but like, you're still dictating the thing that the style I'm making, maybe it's because it's more illustration based. The style I'm making is just, you know, something that I'm just doing. I lost my train of thought.
No, man. Okay. So you kind of do have a distinct style though. I mean, yeah. It kind of have like an overprint kind of rough vibe.
I just lost some like interest in, like not interest in it, but I just like, it's just not as fulfilling as it used to be. Like, I want something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, for me even, I think I like have felt that, and that is kind of what has drawn me to branch out into other fields even.
Yeah, totally.
I think that, and that, because, you know, it's really hard still to do a lot of things in other mediums, and I'm like, not that I mastered any of the mediums, but but it is, it just kind of keeps it interesting and kind of keeps it like a kind of a game layer again.
Yeah.
What about you, Vinny? Yeah. Well, how do you stay fresh on this stuff?
Yeah, it's I mean, it harkens back to some of the things that we've talked about before, and sometimes it's inputs, right, that can keep me kind of enthusiastic and interested. I do love when we get a new client that is something that I've never worked on before and have no idea how to write about. Like, we do a lot of healthcare over at Yamamoto. It's a bit of a specialty for us. And let me tell you, hopefully no one who cares is listening, but I get sick as fuck of writing about healthcare and about Medicare Part fucking D and having to like,
this is going to get edited out.
No, we don't edit.
Oh no, this is going live. But so I get burned out on that stuff. And there's always these like layers and layers of hoops you have to jump through for medical advertising. But like just recently, for instance, we got an accounting firm, and it's the first one we've had, and I get to do the writing for it. And that's fascinating to me because I know jack shit about finances in general. My financial portfolio would probably make more pragmatic people just weep from and pity me. It's fun to like learn about that stuff. And I think that's a part of the job, part of the commerce layer, is that it forces me to do stuff that I wouldn't do if I just got to create art all day. And I think it makes me grow both professionally and personally, and is just plain interesting.
Okay. So there's an interesting level in all of that. And what I was just thinking about was like, even, okay, right now I'm in Los Angeles. I'm in Venice for like 10 days and I'm still working full time, you know, and doing work. Most of my clients are in different places, as I assume are for you, Mikey. It's like, yes. New York, San Francisco, and all these other places. And so it really doesn't matter where I'm at. So just me traveling sometimes gives me another like layer of motivation or a layer of excitement to kind of just like keep trucking forward. But even like playing a game within it, like kind of challenging yourself. Vince, you're talking about like, okay, I'm going to challenge myself to learn about accounting. Interesting. Mikey, I know we joked about hiding penises before.
Wait, you're hiding penis guy?
Oh,
I don't know if that's an official title, but
it is now, Mikey. It is now.
Mikey, penis in the bush, Burton.
Oh, wow, that
we should
that,
we'll bleep that out. Hopefully,
that has another meaning altogether.
I oh god,
please,
like a 70s term.
Oh my god! All right, here we go.
I hope our editor like just bleeped a few of those just to like obscure it and make it more interesting. Yeah. Okay, but this is an interesting topic. I think is like. I first joked about this, and I know this isn't like your official moniker, but you had like shown some work and then like zoomed in where you had like hidden a penis or two in an editorial illustration. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Okay. Guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged. It was only one penis.
Okay.
You're blowing the penises out of proportion.
This is a classic.
Blowing them out of proportion.
Penis. Wow, Mikey. This is actually starting to rival Kevin Allison's episode.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. Jeez.
I think we just equaled the number of penis references. Oh, then we went over. Okay.
But yeah, talk about that is gamification in a way. That is like, that is more than just doing a job and doing work. That is personality, and that is hiding a little like an Easter egg, I think we called it the first time we talked about it, in your work. Yeah. So that there's like got to be some amount of disconnect there, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, when your work, like, when I was a designer, I took joy from, like, working with a client, learning about the client, like, making something that represents the client, right? Mm-hmm. I started doing editorial illustration, and I didn't feel like I should be doing that necessarily. I felt like I cheated somebody or tricked somebody.
Yeah.
So that shows in my work of me, like, just having, like, as much fun as I can. Even to the point of like sneaking things I shouldn't be sneaking into the illustration in there. So there is like, it is about having fun. I think that's what it's going from is like going from one discipline to another discipline to me being like, okay, I just have a really short attention span.
Yeah.
Like to be like, I'm a designer. Now I'm in advertising. Now I'm an illustrator. Now it's almost like, oh, maybe I want to be an artist. Maybe I want to like, only author things that I make, like versus like working for somebody else or even having clients, you know?
Hey guys, it's Grant here, and I want to tell you a little bit about Animoto, a really cool tool that helps you create professional videos in minutes. I recently got to play around with it a little bit and actually create some videos, and to be honest, I was skeptical at first, but it's really, really easy, and the results are pretty good. Really impressed with it. You can upload your own images and video, or you can use clips and images from their library. You can add text, background music, and logo animations with the click of a button. And like I said, I made a fun video. It includes a cute pug wearing a birthday hat, which I strongly encourage you to check out. I'll put a link to that in the show notes if you're interested. And if you are interested in Animoto, they're going to give 10,000 Hours listeners 15% off. With the code 10KHRS, that's 10KHRS at checkout, and that's 15% off new pro subscriptions. And I'd check it out. Go over to animoto.com/10KHRS to learn more and start a free trial. Thanks, guys, for supporting the show, and enjoy the rest of the episode with Mikey Burton.
I think it's like, you know, the stupid thing, I do this blog called Barrel Body, where I just draw like food that I eat just for fun. And it was just something I started last summer because I was bored. And it's really like, it has like a mildly different aesthetic than what I normally do. And it's just drawings of food. They're not like anything serious. They're just kind of goofy. But like that is like me like trying to like branch out and make something to the next step of my career, whatever that is, you know?
Man.
Maybe that's what I am. Maybe I'm like the Anthony Bourdain of like drawing food. They'll pay me to go around the United States and draw food.
See,
that'd be pretty cool.
Interesting, man. That's like really interesting. And okay, first of all, I think you would be fantastic at that. I think.
Where can we find these food drawings? By the way, are they available for the public?
It's a blog called BarrelBody.com.
Boom.
The name comes from. My girlfriend lovingly says I have a barrel body. I do have. I have a thicker midsection. I have shorter legs. I probably wear like a 30 length pant, even though I'm about 6 foot tall.
Oh my god!
Hey, all right.
Yeah, wow. Man. I'm rocking
a 30 at like 5'7.5".
I have short little legs, man. I don't that's know what true. It is. It's like no, I have cool. I have a Michael Phelpsian like torso without all the athleticism.
You're essentially the Michael Phelps of illustration.
He's been in a lot of trouble lately, so
we've been coordinating for a while with his swimming coach to have him on the show. No, we really have. Like,
that's not a joke.
Yeah, I think he would be an interesting guest. Like, sorry.
That's awesome.
yeah. Hopefully, I'll ask him.
You should ask him.
I'm going to show him a picture of you and ask him, like, hey, kind of, right? So, okay, but that's really cool. That's cool that you're doing that project. And this reminds me of a lot of the conversations I got into with advertisers, as in people who worked at agencies. I was really, really hitting the pavement when I was in school and just having coffee with a lot of motherfucking people and talking to them about advertising and their jobs. And there was kind of like this air of disdain or of this lack of fulfillment that I felt. And I do feel like that's like a natural... Man, there's a weird thing that like space between becoming okay. There's like this starving artist, then there's people who become who go into advertising, and then there's like kind of a mid range of like I'm doing commercial work, but it's not necessarily for clients as much. I'm definitely not a starving artist, and I feel like that is a sweet spot that a lot of people strive for. And I don't know if it's as glamorous as it seems or kind of how that works out, but you're kind of getting at that same idea I was talking about before, which is like doing it for yourself feels really, really good. And it like adds a whole nother layer. It's like, if you can generate something on your own, even if it's, you know, with other people or through something, I don't know. It's like that is like, that feels like right. It just feels right.
Yeah, totally. I think, well, that's where we're at now with social media and all these things is self-authorship. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why it's so important that I need to figure out something I can make that isn't reliant on a client.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because nobody, it's so hard, like, all these agencies and different things are scrambling to figure out how advertising works, because people don't want to be advertised to anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people want to select, even if they don't, aren't necessarily doing, they want to be able to select who they follow, who they like, all these different things, right? Does that make I don't know.
No, that's completely on point. I would even say that agencies are like trying to find ways to get in that game too. I think of like a Crispin Porter, like, I mean, and this was almost 2.5 years ago, Vince, when we popped out there, but it was like they were trying to get a bit of like an incubator going, and they were talking about new models even for ownership and for pricing, as in would invest in a startup their services and the quote unquote cost of that and take equity, because that might be a better model. Or like even just like sharing models with big brands, you know, hey, if this is actually, I think, really gets at art and commerce. If we drive the bottom line, you know, and you have 20% more revenue this quarter, like, we should get a share of that. And that is kind of the ultimate like value proposition, I think, from any sort of creative, is like, if the thing I'm going to make you is going to in turn make you more money, like, of course you're going to say yes. But yeah, that's like, you know, that's getting at a deeper level, but it is.
No, it's totally true. Like, I mean, I think that is like kind of across the board when like people come out of school now, like, they can go pick to work at a design firm, they can pick to work at an agency, they can pick up to work at a startup. Like, startup, like, you get, you know, the best you can get at a startup, you're not going to get a giant salary, but you kind of sign up for that to on the whim that the startup does well and that you have a small percentage in that, right? Mm-hmm. That's like a viable option for people graduating from college now.
Totally.
All right. I have a question that is hopefully a quick answer, but it is something that I want to ask.
Am I too long-winded?
No, not at all. Not at all. I work with one of the best in that capacity. No, I'm kidding, Grant. But I want to ask you both about one little word that is pretty divisive, and that is the word sellout. And is there a point, like, I'm under the impression, having worked in advertising for a little while now, that that word is kind of meaningless, but a lot of people disagree with me. What does that word mean to you guys? And maybe it means nothing. Maybe this is a dumb question, but I think it's a pertinent conversation.
Sell out. I don't think I ever bought in. I think it goes back to me not valuing my work as artists. Like, cause I would die to work for a giant company, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that's what you want as a freelance creative, is just to work for big companies, and that's your, like, you know, that's your biggest paycheck for the year, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, some people, yeah, right? Some people would say that that is their goal, and other people would be more along the lines of, I'm freelancing so I can be selective about projects and have the freedom to only pick projects that I, you know, either I believe in or I like working on, or for a brand that I respect, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so what I will say, Vinny, is...
I think we're all sellouts, what, right?
Yeah, there you go. All right. I will allow that for sure. I'm into that.
I'll own that.
Dave Eggers has a fantastic essay on this, which essentially ends with, like, fuck off. Like, I'm not selling out, I'm doing my work, which will show notes and is worth a read. But I'm still figuring that out, I think, more and more. And I think for a while, I don't care. Like, I got over that idea because I'm just trying to, it's hand to mouth, you know, especially 2 years ago, as you very well know, Vince, like trying to get the studio started, trying to like figure stuff out, trying to like live. And it's just like, I could give very few shits about who I'm working for. As long as their paycheck, I'm just trying to figure it out. I think there's like a selectivity that, maybe when you get in a position to, you feel like you can try and do that, but I still have never really felt too hardcore about that. But I will say, again, just like Mikey, I'm not approaching it from a purely artistic standpoint, at least with the client stuff. However, I do feel like me hiding a penis in my designs, my version of that has been working with clients and like really constructing good contracts and good deals where I had room to play and room to make a margin that I've been able to reinvest into some of my, what I would look at as my actual artistic projects, which is like filmmaking stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that is like the first time I ever really ever thought about the idea of being an artist. And I was like, oh wow. Okay. If I can express anything, what am I going to express? Right. It's just like you, Mikey, it's like, oh shit. Like we thrive under a client constraint and we thrive under like a problem we have to solve. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, you can do whatever you want. And it's like kind of scary.
No, it's terrifying.
Yeah. So I guess I really consider that more and more. And I originally wanted to be like a novelist, like that, or like a writer, you know, really a writer. And now I've kind of come back around on that. And it's like, I've had some opportunities to do some like music video stuff and things like that. And it's like, well, what story do I want to tell? What's important to me? Like, how do I want to tell it? And that's been like a whole interesting challenge that is like not a money-making venture at all. And I'm like working on a lot of music video stuff right now that is like, it'll bankrupt me, right? but that's that to me, I guess, I do feel like I can subvert this stuff. And if my version of selling out is enabling my other artistic pursuits, I'm like all for it.
I mean, that's a great way to look at it, though, like to fund your creative passions from the work you do, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, and I think in that way, yeah, exactly. And in that way, I think I hopefully, as I do, play devil's advocate, but I think it really does make the whole question of like, who are you selling out or blah, blah, blah. It's just really a stupid question, in my opinion, because, you know, everyone on... Well, most people in this society work for a living, and being able to use creativity for like a job is cool more than anything else. It's not lessening the creativity. It's strengthening the job you're doing. So totally. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Vinny, what about you? Can we turn that back around on you?
Yeah, I think that's kind of how I feel about it, is that I do sometimes work that if I called it creative to a more cynical person, they would laugh at me, right?
Sure.
But it's really that, in my opinion. I think creativity to make a profit is just a better way of making a profit, not a worse way of being creative.
Yeah. That's well phrased.
Hey, thanks.
And I mean, to your credit too, I think if creativity in these contexts, especially with commerce involved, is solving the problem, and sometimes that means selling the client, even when, you know, there's like a layer of bullshit involved in that, I do think there's a skill, and there's like you have to learn to do that, and you have to like figure that out. It's not like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. That's a whole. That's probably another show topic. Is like the art of
Mikey,
the cell.
Should we do round two?
I mean, that's like, it's crazy. It's like such an art. Like I didn't even realize like that. You know, like when you like, I worked at like for myself like right out of school, and like we had like a little. It was like me and a few of my friends. We had a very tiny like design boutique. We didn't know what we were doing. And I was like, I want to work at an agency, so I'll learn some like more about selling. And I don't even think I knew what that meant. But like the art form of selling, the place I worked at in Philadelphia, they're
160 over 90, right?
Yeah, their selling is just like, it's crazy. They're like it's like another form of grad school. Like,
wow,
it was such a beautiful art for them to do that, and it made me feel like so stupid in a way. Like my work could be just like terrible.
The thing is, Vince and I have talked about this too before. It's like we like people constantly undersell, and you undercut yourself because you're like, oh, I see all of the like thinking and all of the flaws in this or whatever. But more and more, and even this was something I learned on the Seth Godin project. It was like he said, literally, it's selfish of you to undersell this. Like, don't do that. Cause the only person that underselling is for you. It's because you're insecure. It's because you don't feel good. No, the person you're talking to deserves like the full sell. They deserve the presentation and the theater of it.
Yeah.
160 over 90 is sick, by the way. Like really a lot of cool stuff, at least from afar. I don't know.
No, they make a lot of cool projects. I'll give them that.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll show us those guys. Hey, you know, This conversation has been enlightening, and you've got a fresh perspective, a very earnest perspective, Mikey Burton, and I think it's brought something really cool that I didn't even expect to this conversation. And as someone who works hard for his living, you have a lot of drive, I would say.
I'm laughing at the segue. Okay, I know where he's segueing. I was laughing at the idea of you having drive.
This is an extremely ham-fisted segue.
God damn, sorry.
And speaking of drive, we are talking in this week's
about
off
my
topic
favorite
topic.
The movie Drive.
Do you like it?
Oh my god, yes.
Okay,
fantastic movie.
I'm just joking.
Oh, you don't like it?
Is that what we're talking about?
No, but do you like that movie?
It was alright.
I'm a huge fan.
I'm like, that is literally a movie that makes me want to make movies. It's like part of the reason that I'm pursuing filmmaking.
You know what I don't like? Do you have a drive like jacket? Did you buy the jacket?
No, I didn't buy the fucking jacket.
That thing was like $600. Believe me,
some assholes bought that jacket and wear it. That's what
like wear it like in real life, not on Halloween. Yeah,
yeah, right. Totally assholes. You'd have to be an asshole to want to do that.
What? Did you do that, Vince?
No, I wanted to, though. The jacket was too expensive.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. That's pretty bad.
That dude looked like a boss, man. Yeah, I would shamelessly wear that jacket. But that's not what we're talking about, Mikey. Stop trying to derail the off-topic topic. Come on.
Get out of
here. This week, we're talking about cars. Cars, Mikey. Do you like cars?
Cars? You could have picked it. That's not a good topic for me to talk about.
Hold on.
Do you drive?
I don't like a car. I don't drive. I don't want to drive.
Hold on. This is a great topic. I don't think any of us here like driving. Vince, I just realized as you were introducing that topic, you do have your license, right? No, do you?
Yeah, it expires in a year and I'm not getting it renewed.
Yeah. Vince, yeah, man. Oh my god.
Well, I'm a god awful driver.
I love you, man. I love you so much, but you are such a fucking bad driver.
So bad.
Can I be candid with you, Vince? I think
yes,
there was
please.
A point on Creatives Go West where Jake and I just kind of like like ever you and Laura had fallen asleep in the car, and I think we both just we were just like, hey, we should just let's just you and me switch off. Like Jake was like, I feel safer. Like I did, like and driving yes, sucked. Sure. Like it was like a really long trip, and we agreed to kind of just drive the rest of the way because we didn't trust either of you guys.
Yeah, I had a stint nearish to the Rockies that I thought we were just never gonna make it out of there. I'm a bad driver. I'm a terrible driver. I've got bad vision problems.
Yeah.
And I'm a weird mix of like overly cautious driver and then still a very unobservant driver. So it's a recipe for the disaster. So I don't own a car. I don't drive. I haven't driven in several years. And I'm in no rush.
Oh, I like driving.
Oh, well, see, oh, well, hey.
What the fuck?
I still like cars.
Driving, but you hate
the process. Cars. The feeling of driving. I love the feeling of driving.
Do you go to arcades and get that?
Arcades?
Yeah, like Cruising USA.
No. Okay. I mean, we have a car here in Chicago. It's a very old car, but I do like driving. I mean, there's nothing like driving like a long distance drive and listening to music and
that's cool.
It's like the best feeling ever, right?
That is really good. I will back that up.
Like driving last year I was in where was it 2 years ago now Phoenix. I drove from like Phoenix to the Grand Canyon to through the Hoover Dam to
that classic Americana road trip sort of thing.
66. Yeah, is that 66?
No, it was just sorry. We started in Phoenix because I had like I was at like at a design conference and then drove to like LA, but that was like the funnest thing I've done in a long time. Was just
what vehicle did you take on that trip?
We rented a me and my girlfriend rented a Fiat.
Hey, yeah. All right.
I've got some.
It was great. It's like a little. It's like a little toy car. It's cute.
Is that 500? Fiat 500L.
Yeah.
Hey, we got some. We did some spots for a Minneapolis Fiat for the 500L. Pretty fun stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, when's
my they were fun spots. Yeah,
once my site is live, I will send it to you. I mean, if you want. I don't have to.
Unsolicited.
Jesus
Christ.
Grant, what was the car? It was the Malibu, right? That we went.
Yeah, 2000, we were in for some, 2004, yeah. 2005 Malibu. That worked out. Mm.
Yeah, that was a cute little car, man. That was a fun one. I like that.
Yeah,
that was a good I don't know anything about cars. I know shit for cars, but I know the Malibu is a fine beast.
Yeah, this is a nice little guy.
You can drive stick?
Yeah. Well, I had to drive, actually. Speaking of that, I took a. Do you know Josh Long at all? Are you familiar with his stuff? No?
No.
He does Creative Mornings now with he's like co-CEO with Swiss Miss with oh my god. I forget her name. Oh, Tina Roth Eisenberg. Yeah. Tina Roth Eisenberg, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, he has I don't know if it's still a thing now, but he had what was it? Patterns Business and Design School or Business Design School. And my now partner in High Quality, which is like the filmmaking studio stuff I'm doing, Jake and I drove out there to shoot it and to like hang out with those guys and talk to them. It's basically they're doing like a week-long class. But we drove out there to Wilmington, North Carolina from Minneapolis, and Jake drives a stick. And I kind of drive a stick because my dad has like been in the car industry for like 30 years. But
you'd be an embarrassment if you didn't.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, but I mean, I'm not good. Like, I was fine. I definitely it was kind of trial by fire, and I learned. I like got good on the road because I used to work in like the car wash when I was like 15 or something at my dad's car dealership, and I would just have to pull the manuals like around, like through the car wash and then around. And so I don't think I ever even had to get into gear. I just had to be like good at easing off the brake and the clutch. Like, so I was like, I didn't really know, but I figured it out.
Yeah, I can't drive. I can't drive a clutch.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Jesus. Oh my God.
Never tried. Never will.
That's a nightmare. For the good of humanity. I will wake up screaming from. I'm just in a manual car with you driving.
All right.
On the Autobahn. On the Autobahn. Okay. So
all right, any last car thoughts?
Okay.
Mikey, what's your dream car? What do you want? What car would you want to own?
A Lamborghini.
That's tight. What color?
So I'm lying.
Oh, you dick!
Come on.
Did you see Bedazzled? The movie Bedazzled.
Why would I see that?
Whoa!
Oh, okay. Yeah, just make fun. Come on, man.
That's Bedazzled.
No, it's a movie with Elizabeth Hurley and Brendan Fraser, and it's a really good one.
So just learn something, Burton.
Well, it was bad, but it was like a 90s good.
Wouldn't bad 90s good be like Encino Man?
Sure.
That was a good movie too. Yeah, that's good. One doesn't have to be good and the other one bad. Like, the world doesn't exist on a balance between Bedazzled and Encino Man. They can both be good.
I don't know if that's true.
I like to think of the world in those terms. As in, like, I would describe something that's sort of more Bedazzled than Encino Man.
Right.
What was that about?
Elizabeth Hurley's the devil. Elizabeth Hurley's the devil. Brendan Fraser sells his soul, gets several wishes. One of those included a pretty cool Lamborghini. So that's all, man. That's all.
And that concludes our off-topic.
If I wanted a car, I think I'd want one of those old, like, the Broncos, like the old, like, 70s.
Oh, there it is. That's a good car.
I'll count that.
That's a handsome looking car.
Yeah, I'd get behind that. I'd get in that.
What would you get? What would you get in your car?
I don't know, man. I've really, for a while, like, never wanted to buy an expensive car. It just seems so ridiculous to me. But two things I will say. I was staying with some friends at an Airbnb down by the beach a few days ago, out here, and one of the friends who I didn't know had got he rented a Mustang, and I got to ride in that around town, and it was like, okay, this is like kind of cool. Like, it was warm out, and it was like nice.
I have an embarrassing Mustang story too.
Whoa. Wait, hold on. Two? Mine was an embarrassing.
I went to get a rental car one time when I was driving back from Philadelphia, and like the only car they had left was a Mustang, like a convertible Mustang. And I was like, this is so embarrassing. But then as soon as like I got in it and put the top down, and it was like the end of summer, like I drove like all the way from like Pennsylvania back to Ohio, and it was like one of the best things ever.
Yeah, right. It's amazing.
You feel dumb, but it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, dude. I was like whooping like in the wind. I was like,
oh, that's cool. That turned out to be a pretty good car discussion, guys. For three people who don't like know shit or want cars, turned out to be all right.
Give me that Hemi.
Whatever that means. Hey, we should jump in, as reluctant as I am to say so, to some last thoughts. And Mikey, if you could, on the subject of art versus comment or commerce, give us some comments about a couple of questions that we have. And the first one is, how can our listeners support you, Mikey Burton? And the second is, if you would like our listeners to take one thing away from your time on 10,000 Hours, what would you want that to be?
Okay. Where can you find me? I think .coms and .bizzes and all these different things are probably Mikey Burton.
Yeah.
Twitter, Instagram, MikeyBurton.com.
They probably are.
Just not Skype, but everything else.
Just not Skype. I lost Skype to somebody else.
I bet by the time this episode goes live, if you go to shrimppimp54321.com, it'll redirect to MikeyBurton.com.
I appreciate that.
No worries, man.
Oh, and if you can also check out my Tumblr, barrelbody.com, where you can see the things I eat.
I'm looking at it right now. That's a lot of hamburgers, my friend.
I didn't. I ate all this. I almost died.
All right, yeah, we'll show notes, all that stuff, so our listeners can find you out there in the internet world. Now, if you would have them take one thing away from your time on the show, what would that be? Under the gun, Mikey.
Listen, you can take like three minutes to think about it. We'll cut out the silence.
About art and commerce or anything.
Well, if you really want to go broad, we were thinking probably art and commerce.
Yeah.
But if you, I'll let you do an art and commerce, and then if you want to get like into some existential stuff, I'll allow it.
I don't know. What did we talk about today, guys?
Well, I feel like, man, okay, if I was going to project what your takeaway is, it's like,
I'm gonna feed you what you need to say, Mike.
No. But honestly, man, I do feel like there's something to be taken away from your attitude, which is like people. Okay, two things. One is people get way attached to their stuff and they think of themselves as artists, which is fine if they want to be artists. But when you're doing commercial art, I think that you need to be able to solve the problem and get kind of like let go of that shit. And then two, you know. If you look at your work, man, I think it's really cool, I think, to designers to be like, wow, like, look how interesting this is. Look at these opportunities he's gotten. Look at these things. Honestly, you have a lot of really great work, and that shouldn't be discounted or, you know, but I think maybe what you're saying is that doesn't solve at all. That doesn't make it interesting. At a certain point, that kind of loses its flavor. So you kind of have to keep evolving and like figuring out your own art or your own aesthetic or your own balance of art and commerce.
Jeez, that's perfect.
Nailed it. Hey, well said,
Mikey.
Nailed
it, dude. That's great.
Here's what we'll do. We'll have our editor sort of adjust the levels, add a little bit of a Mikey Burton filter.
And more sound of a deeper baritone.
I think we all sound about the same.
Yeah, we kind of have similar vibes.
Really, I think you're being very generous in terms of my own voice. You have a very harmonic, kind of like a joyful baritone, Mikey.
Oh wow, that's very nice.
If I was like tasting the wine of Mikey Burton, I would say there's a hint of gleefulness.
It's playful, but full body.
Gross. Hey, real talk, we've had some guests before where, Vince, I feel like you and I didn't distinguish between our voices. And I like, partway through, I was like, I feel like they don't actually know which one is which. And they're just rolling with it.
I'll guarantee.
You know what? That's like something that's really hard to just podcast. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And like, it's hard to get like really familiar with somebody's voice. It's hard to commit to a podcast because it's like, you have to like, get to know these people a little bit.
I know. I always have to look up pictures of them. Just put a face.
I like
to
look a picture up, but
I like to not and then look a picture up.
Hey, that would actually be a fun project too, Mikey. Of just like,
draw them.
Yeah, draw them what you think, and then what like is, maybe draw.
I would watch. I would definitely check that out. That was awesome.
What does Marc Maron look like?
Yeah, dude. Think if you never saw a picture of him and then drew that, like I don't know.
You'd be a giant butt.
You'd just be a big butt.
And on that note, hey, thanks so much today for joining us, Mikey. This was fun.
I didn't have to answer a question then.
No, you did. Okay, come right?
on. Well, you can. Oh, okay. No, listen, this is your platform. If you want to answer, like.
No, I think you said it well. I think it's just we're really lucky to get to do what we. I think if you're in any creative endeavor, like you're really lucky to get what you do. Get to do what we do. I'm lucky to get up every day and make a picture for a magazine or read an article. I think that's really awesome. But I don't, like, it could go away tomorrow. It could go away in 2 weeks from now. I could be, like, doing something else. Like, I just, like, take it seriously, but just enjoy it, too, you know? Mm-hmm. That's all it really boils down to. It's work.
Hell yeah, man.
I'd find well joy said. In some other work.
Well said, man. Very well said, legitimately. And I think that really does a great job summing up kind of the entire discussion, art versus commerce. It isn't art versus commerce. It's art and commerce together in harmony.
Art loves commerce.
Oh, art and a heart and commerce. I think that's got to be an episode title. Dude, quick shout out to a show sponsor, Text Expander. I have a keyboard shortcut set up for the Mac symbol of a heart sign, which is I have it set to colon sign HT. It'll make a heart.
you press a colon, you get a heart.
Oh, God.
All right. And we have Vinny. Eclipsed Kevin Allison's episode.
We beat him. We beat him. Okay. Can we do I'm feeling like, because there's some Midwest vibes to this particular episode. I'm wondering if we could do like hey there. I'm wondering if we could do a in unison ship it just as a crew.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. That sounds nice. We haven't done that with a guest in a long time.
Are we going to count it down?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Grant will count it down.
I'm
going to
give it a 3-2-1, and then it's just a ship it.
Okay.
In your Midwest, your most Midwestern style. All right. we start the show with a and we end the show with a
Much to my chagrin, we do.
Three, two, one.
Ship it.